Welcome, everyone, to our Commissioner's Court today. We thank you for being here. And as we begin, as we always do, I'm going to ask for someone to come forward and do our opening prayer. Yes, if you would, please. And then would you also lead us in the pledges? So I'll stand together.
There we go. If you'll join me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for this day that you've given us. We praise you for all good and perfect gifts which come from above from you. We praise you for this Commissioner's Court who you've ordained to run the business of the county, and I lift them up to you this morning and ask for blessings on them, ask for your wisdom and knowledge to be granted to them as they make decisions that affect all of us in Montgomery County. Father, we thank you for your Son that you sent for us, and I pray all things in his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Pledges?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Let the record reflect that all are present. Do I have a motion to approve the Commissioner's Court agenda today? We have a motion, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, at this time, I'm going to give an opportunity for citizens' comments. If you would, please, if you do have a comment that you'd like to make, come to the microphone, state your name for the record. Please tell us the item that you'd like to comment on the agenda, and understand that there's a three-minute time period that you have. Commissioner Nowak will be timing, and when it goes off, we ask that you would stop. Is there anyone here who would like to make citizen comments this morning? All right, then let's move forward. Proclamations, resolutions.
Yes, if you have one.
Judge.
Well, I'm sorry. Do we have?
It'll be the public hearing. He'll be speaking during the public hearing.
Okay. Okay, thank you. All right, let's move forward. Proclamations, resolutions, and presentations. Who we have our presentation of Employee of the Month. All right, Lieutenant, welcome.
Good morning, Judge. Morning, Commissioners.
Morning.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. I am Ken Washington, Recognition Coordinator for the Montgomery County Employee Committee. Thank you for allowing the Employee of the Committee come before you today to present a plaque for Employee of the Month for May and a gift certificate from Dragon Bowl Sea Noodle Bar in downtown Conroe. There were nine employees nominated this month, and several were nominated by numerous employees throughout the county. Can we have Constable Chris Jones with the Precinct 5 office to come up forward?
Yeah, Chris. All right. Can we get Diane Peterson to come up? I believe her family just arrived too, so. The DA's office, all y'all want to come up here. I mean, it's a big team over there if y'all want to come up and stuff like that. Well, I read this. So, Diane Peterson, you're going to be Employee of the Month for May 2023.
Constable, everybody's coming up. Hold on just a second. I think it's only appropriate that our DA come up as well, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there we go.
So, Commissioners, as you know, I believe back in 2012, 2013, you pretty much handed everybody, all the constables and ICAC investigator. Diane Peterson came to us last year in March from Harris County, because if you're good at it, what you do, you steal them from Harris County. And I just wanted to, I was going to sit up here and talk about some stuff, but I kind of want to read what Sarah Carotti from the DA's office said today, and she's the one that nominated her. So it's special to me to have an employee that gets nominated by another department for that. So I'd like to read that from Sarah, if you don't mind. So as I'm writing this letter in support of Diane Peterson for Employee of the Month, as a member of the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, she continually fights to protect kids here in Montgomery County and across the U.S. Diane regularly goes above and beyond what is required of her by assisting other team members and picking up new cases while she is already working a full caseload. As an example of this, when another ICAC team member was going out of town, she picked up their cases and continued to work so that no evidence would be lost. She worked diligently to submit multiple search warrants for accounts in order to obtain the evidence needed to identify suspects. While she was working on that case, she learned that a sex offender who had been in prison for child pornography was still actively viewing and sharing child pornography. She worked quickly to find as much information as possible, viewing all the similar material, and to see what she could corroborate. As she was working to learn about the case, she volunteered to assist with a very large priority child trafficking investigation also. The case was provided to her on Friday around 3 p.m. She worked very late on Friday, all day Saturday, to finish up the warrant. And then on Sunday, she drove to the judges' houses to get the warrant signed, in order to run the warrant on Monday morning. While she was working on this, she coordinated with members of the ICAC task force, deputies from our agency, and members of Homeland Security in order to ensure we had enough people on Monday morning for the search warrant. Diane has spent several years working investigations in the realm of internet crimes against children, but this investigation also required human trafficking and sexual assaults, and she took the time out of her busy weekend to speak with other officers that were knowledgeable about these areas, that she could do a better job to prepare and write the warrant for the interview subject. Throughout all this, despite the last-minute nature and how much of her weekend that it took, she did not complain once. In fact, she was enthusiastic, coordinated many members of the ICAC task force, execute a search warrant, and interview operation. I cannot overemphasize the amount of work that Diane took on and conquered in one short weekend. After that warrant, she was notified by our office about another sexual assault of a child, and she picked up right where she left off and started working that one too. So through all of this work, she continues to come to work with a smile on her face. She is dedicated to working tirelessly to ensure that all her cases are prepared correctly. She always ensures that her reports are completed and that is shared with the appropriate agencies. In short, the above is one example of Diane's character and professionalism as a detective. Diane Peterson is an amazing asset to Montgomery County, and our children are safer because of the work she does. So, congratulations.
Ms. Peterson.
Y'all want to come up, family? Take a picture. Who takes pictures?
Number one, I don't know how anybody does that, but I'm sure glad that you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really
do. I agree.
I don't know how anybody can do that.
Yeah, these are the ones on the front line doing it every day. So,
get a picture with the family and then with the DA's office as well.
Thank you all very much.
Great job. Thank you.
Well done. Thank you very much. All right, let's move forward. Item number 9, consider approved commissioner court minutes from regular session day of May 9th, 2023. Do we have a motion?
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, the court now will consider and discuss in its discretion take action on the following items. The first, county judge, consider and accept the annual financial report from Montgomery County Emergency Services District Number ESD-4 for the fiscal year ending September 30th, 2022. Do I have a motion?
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, budget. Amanda.
Good morning. First item 11A, consider approve and authorize transfers, adjustments, and amendments for grant departments for fiscal year 2023. These budget amendments are mostly related to ARPA.
Judge, if no one has an issue, I'll move on A, B, C, and D.
I was going to suggest that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. We have a motion on A, B, C, and D. Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you,
I'll
Amanda.
12A as well.
We have a motion on 12A. Of each of these items, we have a motion and a second of the Treasurer's Report. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Emergency Management, Jason Millsaps.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners. 13A is a resolution order to acquire a flood-out property. It's in Timber Lakes, Timber Ridge.
I'll move.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
13B, to avoid reading this all, I'll just give you the summation of what 13B is. So under the Texas Division of Emergency Management, we have task force assigned employees that are employed by the county that are routinely assigned to a task force, either task force one, task force six, any number of these task force. This allows us to sign the MOU between us and TEDM that would make this eligible employee that's certified to be on this task force reimbursable to the county for their time. I'll give you a quick example. I give this to Commissioner Riley earlier this morning. Last week when we had our little flood event, several Conroe firemen were assigned Task Force 1, which then ultimately got reassigned back to the county. So they were here rescuing folks here in the county, being paid by the state, not by local tax dollars. So it's a great program. There's only a handful of employees that are eligible at this time, but there's more as it expands as we get more trained employees. So this would allow me to add employees to this list and subtract employees. This is based on their department head's willingness to participate and their training qualifications.
I move.
So it's a member of okay, we have a motion. Is there a second? Question. So this is a memorandum of understanding to get reimbursement from the state.
Correct. And they pay everything, all salaries, benefits, overtime, associated costs. And while the employee is on assigned task force, any injuries that occur fall under the state's workers' compensation.
How many employees do we have under that?
I have a handful of employees. The Fire Marshal's office has got the most of them, but several of our deputies and some of our constables' precincts and the Sheriff's Office also may be qualified under their Swiftwater Rescue Training to be assigned. But as of right now, I only know of a handful in the Fire Marshal's office.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
13C is just to add on to that. It requires us to have a policy in place to handle overtime for exempt employees. So if they're assigned on a TMAT assigned task, they would have a policy exception for overtime, which will be then reimbursed by TEDM to the state, to the county.
All right. We have a motion to approve. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion to second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
13D extends our 2016 flood mitigation assistance grants, the FMA contract, from its current expiration date, which is fastly approaching, to January 21st, 2024, allows us to continue the buyout program that we have available funding for.
Second. We have a motion.
I'll second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Item number 14, Justice of the Peace, Precinct 3, consider accept monthly collections report for April.
Move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Risk management.
Move. Second.
We have a motion and a second. We've seen the backup. Thank you very much. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Constable Precinct 1.
Move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. So I see the need for us as we later discuss our consent agenda coming up. All right, Constable Precinct 2.
Move. Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Tax assessor collector. I think we need to have Tammy come up and explain each one of these items.
I move.
We have a motion.
A, B, and C.
I'll second it.
So we have a motion to approve all three, A, B, and C. Is there a second? All in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, County Auditor, Rakesh.
You want me to do the same thing, Rakesh?
Come on.
Really up to you.
Except for I'll move on A, B, and C. Is there a motion on A, B, and C?
Move.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Thank you.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Item D.
All right. Judge, Commissioners, if you guys will give me just a little bit of your time. I know this issue, I keep talking about it, but I am convinced that we're paying too much. I've been doing some research. We have invoices in here today for over $1,000 a day for court services for interpreters. I am going to quote an article. First, I can pass this around. I have a copy for the county clerk in the minutes, and then I have one for everybody else that we're going to quickly go over. She'll give that to Amy and to Amanda. So this is an article from the February 20th, 2023, where it quotes in here that in Harris County, there are 13 full-time Spanish interpreters for its courts. Richard Wood, the district court's administrator for the county, said in an email January 26, the county also has three language service agencies mainly used for finding interpreters in familiar languages other than Spanish. Meanwhile, Harris County daily rate for interpreters is $55 an hour, with a max rate of $330 a day, while jury trial rate is $65 an hour with the max rate of $390 a day. So that is, we are paying significantly more should this information be correct. And again, I'm quoting it out of the Community Impact article on February of this year. Furthermore, when you start looking at the interpreter information from around the state, I found, number one, that there is a service that is provided by the, it's TCRIS, and this is some Texas, it's a Texas court program that will provide services online at no cost to counties for all district and county courts. And I put information in there about how you can do that and how you go about selecting and scheduling an interpreter. Again, this is, it's called the Texas Court Remote Interpreter Services. While it is intended for more remote areas, it is for any court can utilize this service. And again, there's absolutely no cost to do that. There is what's called like a judge's reference card. I included in here on exactly how you go about doing that, who you contact, what the enrollment process is. So all of those services are available. According to a June 21st article by the Houston Chronicle, as of January 2021, the median pay for all interpreters, including court interpreters, is $49,110 a year or $23.61 an hour. Just wanted, and I cited where you can find that information as well. There is a service called AA Interpreting where you can request an interpreter, and they will also, it's certified by the Texas and the Houston Interpreters Association, as well as the Texas Association of Judiciary Interpreters and Translators, and they will provide these services in four different formats: less than an hour or two, less than 4 hours, and over 4 hours. I'm not sure if we have utilized that service or not, but I would like for us to at least look into this. And then lastly, Ms. Little, since you're standing before us again today, last time you were here, you made the comment that you were saving money for the county and you have actually spent less than we did in the previous year. In 2022, according to Amanda, the total spent on interpreter services, both by the hour and employed by the county, was $236,000. So far this year, we've already spent $208,000. We have roughly 5/12 of the year left, so I would venture to guess that we're going to go way over that. So I just wanted to make that correction. And if the court would allow, I would like to make a motion as part of this for Commissioner Walker and I to work with Wendy and the judges to come up with a solution that may be more cost-effective for Montgomery County.
I agree with the commissioner. Harris County, I mean, it says here, it stated that they have 100 interpreters in Harris County that live there, and there's only 10 that live in Montgomery County. So, and I don't remember where I heard it, but we're paying them travel time too, as well as by the hour, and then daily rate. And we're if this is correct, we way exceed what we should be below what Harris County pays, I feel like, unless, you know, there's some extenuating circumstances that causes, you know, certain needs. But on a regular basis, I can see why they would run up here to work, you know, if we're paying that much money. I mean, and economically, you know, we're in a tough time right now throughout the with our budget and everything we do. We do our best on the court to try to keep everything in check, and this is one thing that I think requires a little bit of attention. You know, I don't want to make it a burden to any of the court of the system, but we have to work through this and figure out a better, there's got to be a better avenue for this, I think, personally. But anyway.
Wendy, what are your thoughts?
So I would
speak into the microphone if you would, please.
Sorry. My one question, I haven't seen the community impact article that Commissioner Nowak was addressing. I know he said that Harris County had 13 interpreters, but we don't, the total that they're paying, I'm not sure what the salary is. When we're
do they have 13, interpreters on staff, is
they
what
have 13,
you're saying?
13 full-time Spanish interpreters.
On staff.
On staff.
Yeah. And if you can give that to Wendy. That way you'll have a copy of it. And again, if there's an error in there, by all means, point
sure.
it out.
No, I've just thought.
We tried to contact them this morning. We didn't meet. We contacted Judge Hidalgo's chief of staff, who turned us over to another person who runs the courts, who's over this gentleman that's quoted.
Perfect.
And she said that $485 is kind of what they have some of their invoices are for.
Okay.
And I forgot exactly what she said the difference was between the 390 and the 480, or give or take. But I know we have at least two invoices in here for over $1,000. And I think when we pay $650 a day, I mean, and that came up just as a conversation with the judge, and it was supposed to be 65 an hour. So technically we're already paying them 10 hours. And then they charge us overtime on top of it, and that's how we got to over 1,000. I think that's just we're being taken advantage of.
Yeah, that was two interpreters that stayed till 9:30 at night before we got to the overtime.
What was say that again?
That was two interpreters that stayed until 9:30 at night with a trial attempting to finish that case. That's how we got to over $1,000.
The jury, explain to us, the jury trials are what cost the most money, right?
They are.
Okay. So proceed.
So I think to address Commissioner Walker's concern, our biggest problem is we have 10 master certified interpreters in Montgomery County, but only four of them are available to work in the courts. And those are the four that we typically use. You'll see them on the claims presented for payment for this month. Those are the interpreters that we typically use for our daily rotations in our courtrooms because we don't have a county staff interpreter at this time. The interpreters that we're reaching out to cover most of our trials are not those four. They're folks that are traveling from Harris County. We only pay travel if their principal office is outside of Montgomery County. And most of the ones that come here for rotations, if I pull somebody from Harris County for rotations, they're not charging me money.
So we have 10, you say, and there's only four that's
correct.
Working? What are the other six doing that's paying better
than what
we're
paying? So some of those work for county offices. I believe one of them works for one of the precincts, or they just are not in private practice. They work for companies, but they're still registered on the state's list of master certified interpreters because that's interpreters for any purpose, not just courtrooms.
And these, as I looked at the spreadsheet, and you looked at, they were looking at like 25,000, 24,000. Correct me if I'm wrong. We in the past have had a full-time person on staff.
That's correct.
And when we previously calculated total dollars amounts, that person's salary was on a salary line separate from the interpreter's line. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So now that we don't have a salary line, we have a savings on the salary of, I mean, with benefits, something close to $8,000 a month.
Correct.
Judge, the total.
It would just.
Salaries included in.
I did include the salaries, Judge.
Yeah.
In my
we're looking at 2022's total numbers.
Yeah, $236,000 includes everything
salaries.
For interpreters, salaries and by the hour and benefits.
Yeah, it was 70,000 contract interpreters and then 169,000 salary and benefits for on staff interpreters.
And I. Commissioner, I didn't have figures for all of 2022 in front of me when I made the statement that we were decreasing cost. I was looking at what our costs were when I walked in the door and started December 1st.
No, I understand. It's just that when you make a statement like that, it's taken very seriously. And
certainly.
I want to make sure that the record is right, not just to correct you.
I appreciate that. I do know our costs for this month are up substantially. Typically, we've had two trials in December, one trial in January, four trials in February, three trials in March, no trials in April, and so far for the month of May, we've had eight trials. So that's a pretty marked increase, just at least for this month.
So at the most, I mean, you're saying four trials a month. Or five, maybe. That's a maximum,
four,
right?
Four seems pretty average, but we're up to eight already for the month of May.
And so our one full-time interpreter that we're paying.
Well, so we don't have one at all that is a full-time.
The position is vacant.
Yeah, the position is currently vacant.
Okay.
So right now, all we have is contractors. We don't have an employee cost at all.
You know, I'm certainly not an attorney. And every time I start talking about the law, I usually get in trouble. If we're paying these guys as like contract labor, really, right?
Absolutely.
If we hire interpreters and we pay them salaries from the county, they work for Montgomery County and they get all the benefits, I don't know how Harris County, isn't that kind of bias?
No, sir. I don't believe anybody would look at it that way. They're kind of like the attorneys that you employ. They have a code of ethics that they have to follow as well. They're going to faithfully interpret. They're not going to.
So we can hire and have them on staff.
One way or the other.
Is that? That's probably the way we're trying to go.
If we can find them for sure, because
I'm worried about. But I guess
here's how this all came up. I got a telephone call from Judge Hamilton, if you recall, right before Thanksgiving. And she said, Judge, I cannot find any interpreters, and I have a trial on Tuesday. This guy's been in jail for 2 years, and we've got to try this case. What do I do? And that was when we had come out with whatever program we had come out with. And at that time, I told her, I said, well, you have the authority to do whatever you need to do to make sure that that trial takes place. And when she did that, I think she ended up paying like $850 or something like that, because the Waller County, Walker, and some of these others, they'd get held up kind of like we were being held up at that time. And so that's how we kind of came to this to begin with. But if you look back in March, we paid $20,255 total. In April, $8,630 for the first report. The second report was $46,000. So that's about $13,000 and some change. And this month we're at $19,000. And again, out of each of those figures that you calculate for those, that does not, your salary line is saved, isn't it? I must be missing something there.
I'm not sure what you're
saying. In other words, we're not paying a full-time person, which would come out of the salary line as opposed to out of the line where we're showing this report.
Yes.
Is that not the case?
The numbers that you're stating, I'm not sure where those are coming from, because we're looking in the GL. The GL shows March.
Judge, your numbers are strictly off of the AP claims report that we present to the Commissioner's Court every quarter.
Okay,
we're showing March had $32,577, April $10,736, May $33,253.99.
So what does this salary pay? If we had one.
Yeah, so right now I think the position's budgeted around $75,000, and we have one position. Now, there is an outstanding PDQ that is to move the position up a little bit and also to coordinate the other interpreters. And
what?
So Wendy and I discussed is the position, it's not getting any candidates, right? And so how do we get more candidates? Well,
On Montgomery County's website. I think we're going to try to put it on Indeed and some other places, because I saw at least four different court interpreter positions on Indeed this morning when I looked. So that's probably a place to look. And you mentioned the 9:30, the late hours that the interpreter had to work. Well, it's important for the court to know that interpreter didn't start working until 1:30 in the afternoon.
Mm.
So you're still talking about
eight hours,
and you're getting $1,040. Who in here would want that job?
Well,
I mean, come on.
My argument here is, look what we're paying to outside people to interpret, And we could be paying a county employee much more on their salary. I mean, you just said it,
yeah.
8,000, 20, whatever it was, 20,000.
Yeah.
If we, and I don't know if one interpreter could handle the system. But I mean, we're talking 2 to 4 a month. I mean, my gosh.
Commissioner, part of the problem is you wouldn't typically use your county interpreter to handle a trial. That would almost always fall to contractors, because your county interpreter is going to be handling the rotations in all of your other courts and then coordinating those contractors. So even if we have a county employee, you're not going to lock them up in a trial for two or three days, because then you won't have anybody to service all your courtrooms.
You know, there's not a commissioner.
I mean, we can, but that's not typically what's been
done. Or myself that doesn't want to save money. It's a great point. We're all trying to save money. What couple things we want to save money, and we don't want to sacrifice the opportunity to get people when we need them. So kudos to you, Commissioner, if you guys want to do a study and try and figure out where we can, what possibly can be done to hone this down, just with the understanding that, man, we don't want to get telephone calls from judges saying, I can't get any interpreters to come and work.
And that's the position.
And if we end up paying somebody, we may be having for 75. Can we get somebody for 75, or is it really 100 plus benefits? And if that's the case, multiply that times 2 or 3, 4, and that 32,000 is, it becomes a wash.
Since we created the position back, I think, at the end of 2021, we've had three individuals interested in the position paying around $75K. We have had a lot of struggle, though, with the current opening. If you guys remember, Judge Bays and Judge Stewart came in and talked about that a little bit. We decided to close one of the positions and use that towards contracts. So right now we only have one opening, right? We only have one opening, and then we're using the rest for contract services. But this in-house interpreter that we had on staff, that was a discussion that we had back in 2021, and finally got, some movement on that. But since the beginning of that, since we decided to go that way, we've had three individuals interested. One of those individuals is now on your contract services side, right? So she's not interested in being a full-time. Maybe she is, but...
Well, they make more money.
But the one of the three is still interpreting for Montgomery County. She's just doing it on a contract basis instead of in-house.
Ms. Little, I have one more question. So when I look at the... There are two invoices for $1,040, and they're both for May 4th, 2023. And they both list the same cause number, 23-37-2816. Why would we have two interpreters in the same courtroom during the same times, 1 to 9:30, paying them both $1,040 a day?
So part of that is the way interpreters work, because we will schedule two interpreters if it's a defendant that requires interpretation. We'll schedule only one if it's for witnesses. If it's a defendant, that interpreter has to interpret every single word that is said in that courtroom simultaneously for that defendant the whole time the proceeding is going on. In general, they can handle about 30 minutes of doing that. It's basically like repeating everything that's being said before they begin to have a high error rate, mental fatigue.
So, it's just
so then
necessary.
We swap out.
That's,
they
it's
have to work
is.
As a team.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just the nature of the beast.
For the understanding of the court, though, you have given on each of those where it has been extensive, you have given an explanation. I would encourage you guys to read the backup.
Ms. Little,
Commissioner, if you let me finish, please.
Go ahead.
If you would play the you have backup here on each of these where we have used two interpreters or there's been voir dire plus, that I would encourage us in this process to not to read as well, because you took the time in every one of these instances. I'm talking a full page here of explanation of how we got to that place. And again, if we can save money, we certainly want to do it. And I encourage the study to be done.
Judge, in all
fairness, but just for that benefit.
Same letter, it's the same letter being printed out.
I saw that. It's not unique.
Okay.
But it's for the same issue, though, Commissioner. I've read every one of those letters, and I've looked at every page in this report. I've looked at them just like you have.
Okay.
And again, I'm in favor of you doing the study, so don't misunderstand, because I want to save as much money as I can as well. Commissioner, you were going to say something.
I just wanted to ask, this keeps coming up, can you offer anything while we sit here that would keep the courts running efficiently and reduce the cost? Because
I
this
do
is nonstop
have a suggestion.
And it keeps coming up. I'd love to hear one as I sit here.
Right. So one of the things that I know has been a concern is PC court on the weekends. Right now we're paying an interpreter $220 for Saturday and $220 for Sunday. That's a total of $440 each weekend, 52 weeks. That averages out about $22,800 a year that we're spending for PC court. Typically, those appearances by those interpreters are via Zoom. They start at around 9. They're done at 9:30. So we're paying that $220 rate for about 30, 45 minutes worth of work. I know that that does not sit well with the commissioners because that's probably the best paying interpreter job that we have.
Is Did you say Zoom?
Weekends. Those hearings on the weekends are not hearings of record. We are not statutorily required to have a master level certified interpreter for those proceedings because we are not doing anything on the record. The hearings that are on the record are only Monday through Friday.
Are you talking about the ones for magistration?
For magistration.
Yeah, because I've sat in on those. It's painful.
We've previously had bilingual certified county employees stand in and do the interpretation for those weekend assignments. We could go back to doing that. I have qualified employees in indigent defense and as part of the PC court team that handles these cases. That would drop us, if we paid those employees, now this would roll into overtime hours is mm-hmm. where we have a problem. But even at overtime hours, if we did 4 hours per day, two days a weekend, 52 weeks a year, we're looking at $16,000. If we drop that down to only 2 hours per day, 2 days a weekend, we're at $8,000. And that's an employee getting that benefit rather than contractors. That's something we could immediately put into place. I plan to present that to our Board of Judges at our next meeting.
The issue with that, though, is that in the magistration, you're setting it up for you're doing probable cause and you're setting it up for to be adjudicated later. It's going to go to court, and now because we haven't used a certified interpreter, don't we give an edge to the bad guys when something like this happens?
I don't believe we do, because most of what's being done there is they're being informed of what their rights are. They're having probable cause read aloud by a judge, yeah. And then the judge is based on a financial assessment that those same employees right. are already conducting, determining what their bond should be set at. It's not a final part of a proceeding. It's simply making sure they're informed of their rights.
But it is included in the next court case, and they're advised of that. It's even so, anything that they say can and will be used against them. And so it's all available in a court of law.
Well,
when it comes down to it, whatever the defense attorney wants to do.
A record is not made of those proceedings. So everything that's said is also documented in writing.
Correct.
So I believe that's something that we could switch to without impacting anybody's constitutional rights, and we could still save the county some money.
Okay.
What about mileage? Because when I talked with Harris County this morning, they say they do not pay mileage at all, no matter where they're driving from. And they've got a very large, you know, area in which they're pulling from.
Right.
Could we immediately do away with paying them to drive to work? I mean,
nobody else gets
that benefit.
I don't remember when we came up with this that we said that they were going to get mileage. I'm not sure where that came from.
65 cents a mile. And I've been reading through it. It varies.
But when we came up with the program, though, that was not an item that was on that agenda. It started out as an hourly, then as a per day.
Judge, that was on the form when I took office, and we didn't alter it.
Could we do that here now, to say we're not going to pay mileage going forward, and we're going to use these employees on the weekends?
Commissioner, you know I can't make that decision. I have to go back to my board of judges.
Unless the judges have a reason to why... we're not understanding at this point, because we do want them to continue moving their dockets and taking care of Montgomery County. They do a good job of that.
Right. I think that's part of how we had the numbers in 2022 that we did, is that we weren't getting interpreters. The trials just weren't being conducted.
Can I recommend you working behind the scenes with HR and doing some gap analysis and seeing if we can increase pay and get some people here and offer some solution to us, please?
Yes, sir. And that is already underway.
All right.
If we're looking for interpreters, have we checked with all the major universities around here that maybe, you know, they got to have every language in the world that there's somebody studying all of these universities?
Yes, sir. Part of the problem is the master certification that's required. The same program that Commissioner Nowak was addressing called DCRIS is administered by Texas Judicial Branch. They do the master certification for interpreters. Very few people pass that test. That's why there are so few. It's not just that you speak the language. It's that you have to be able to meet that master certification level.
It's interesting because I read some of the facts about that course, and they have an online course. They have the actual, you can look at a sample test. I mean, it's there right now. And they claim to have a pretty good pass rate if you go through and study the material and utilize the services that the state offers. So hopefully we can get some people interested in doing that.
I'm fielding phone calls in my week, probably 10 or 15 a week now that this has become an issue on Commissioner's Court, and there have been so many newspaper articles with people calling me asking what they can do to get master certified.
No, that's great. And you're right, there has been a lot of interest from the community. We had a gentleman send us a letter that he's a resident of Montgomery County. He's been following this. He holds a seat on the Texas Association of Judiciary Interpreters and Translators, and he'd like to help us solve this problem. He said, I have some really good ideas. So maybe he's somebody. Evan has the email. He can send it to you. Maybe we can get him. He says that he's got really lots of good ideas for us.
Appreciate that.
Okay, so I have a motion to approve the claims, but also with that to assign Commissioner Nowak, Commissioner Walker, since they've chosen to do that, to begin the study on this and see where we can tweak this, where we can cut costs or do whatever while still keeping the ability to get interpreters when we need them for sure. I'll make that motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, motion is second. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, item E and F. I would move the N, G, and H. I would move that we all four of those items. We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank
you. All right. Purchasing. Gilbert?
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
The first item, A, is to approve advertising for bids for, one, the sale of a metal building, some lawn maintenance at the airport, and for a mobile incident command post unit for OEM.
To refurbish it, right?
Right.
Not to get one.
It's refurbished an existing unit.
Sheriff's Department?
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Is there a budget approved for that to pay for it?
Should I have the UASI grant to pay for the refurbishment.
Great.
Repeat that for the record. Do you have what?
A UASI grant.
UASI grant.
A UASI grant to pay for it. Okay, very good.
I move on all three.
All right, we have a motion on A, B, and C.
Second.
A motion and second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Item number D.
These are two discretionary exemptions that the court can offer, and one is for laboratory testing services, and the second is for counseling services.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? What is this for? What does this do, Gilbert?
So these are professional services, so we're basically, the court's giving a discretionary exemption from the bid process so that we can move forward and continue with these services for these. One's forensics and the other's for the jail.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Fire Marshal.
We've got to do C.
C and D.
C and D. Unless you want to do C.
No, we approved A, B, and C, I thought.
I'll move on C and D.
You moved on A, B, and C.
I got it.
No.
I said D, assuming that they started with the first three. Didn't you do that, Commissioner?
Well, I think it was A and B is what they read.
I'm on A, 1, 2, and 3. That's what I would
move
on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The three.
I got you. A. Okay, good. So we have D done. Then, okay, move to B, if you would, please.
We
Commissioner, you're moving on B and C?
Here, can we fix the record for Holly real quick? You got it? So you need a motion on C, is that correct?
C and D.
And D, right?
And D.
I move on both C and D.
All right.
Second.
All in favor?
How about this? I move on A, B, C, and D to
fix it. As a catch-all to fix it. We remove all motions previously made. Commissioner Nowak just
I'm on consent move. Agenda.
There you go.
My Lord.
All right, a motion for A, B, C, and D. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
All right, thank you.
Thank you all. Fire Marshal.
Move.
I second. Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Walk up here.
Talk.
Well, if you would just, I have a Chief McKeska. Chief, would you come up? And
Yes.
Just real quickly, this is a pretty simple agreement that we've been doing. Chief McKeska with ESD3,
yeah.
This is a way to deliver the services at the local level. It allows them to bring in a person to do community risk reduction. It does a couple of things. It greatly improves the safety for the citizens, and really what it affects is the safety of our firefighters. Because we're going to have a young man, and I'll let Chief McKeska introduce him, the future of our fire service. He's going to be out inspecting these fire protection systems that keep our firefighters and our residents safe. And he'll be doing it at the local level. He'll be readily available. And this is a way to work with our team. So, Chief, if you would introduce our newest member here of the team.
Yes, this is Mr. Mouton. He's a state-certified inspector level 1 and 2. He's also a certified fire investigator. He's taken fire examination planning and review classes, as well as public education or fire education classes right now, and he's in process of that. So we're very excited to have him. He was one of our firefighters, and he inspired to do more work with the Fire Marshal's Office, and he has helped with the County Fire Marshal's Office on different things, and as well as South Montgomery County Fire. He's training through them as well. So
great.
Awesome. Very good.
Great. Well,
very
good.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Right. We appreciate that explanation.
Very similar to the agreement we have with Montgomery County ESDA. It's a great model for working between the county and the ESD. Share funding, share responsibility. It keeps us from having to hire additional folks, and it puts folks right there readily available for the citizens to provide
good
services.
Good, good job. Good. Well, all right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it so much. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it so much. Chief, thanks for being here.
Thank you, sir.
All right. District clerk.
Move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Grants and community development.
I'll move on A, B, C, and D.
We have a motion on all four. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. County Attorney, Precinct 2.
A, 1, and 2 are just setting, authorizing a notice of a public hearing. Do I have a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
24A3 is just a replacement letter of credit. It was with the Spirit of Texas. Now it's with Simmons Bank.
Second.
We have a motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Precinct 4.
On Precinct 4, consider and approve the resolution in order to pay for the acquisition of 17338.
We'll move on 1 through 4.
We'll move on all four?
Yep.
I'll second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
On C1, we'd like a resolution to defend claim number 800-6633.
I'll move on that. Motion to approve that.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 2.
This is regarding a potential settlement. It's very similar to the settlement that you entered on the opioid, but this is with the Allergan defendants, and this would authorize the county judge to execute this settlement participation. It's recommended by our outside counsel. This is a great. I think other defendants will be settling with us.
Move.
Awesome. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Consider and approve a resolution order regarding procedures for consent agenda items.
Move.
Do we?
Second.
Can somebody tell us what's on this resolution and order?
It's great.
I read it.
So
I wanted more on it, but I'll live with it.
It pretty much covers it all.
So the things that are on it are minutes of prior court meetings, audits, reports, memorialization, very similar to the things that you were moving on with little discussion, routine matters. Also, it should be noted that any judge or commissioner may remove any item from the consent agenda to be voted on separately, just like we did before. The only thing that I would ask that we add or consider adding is I didn't spell out tax assessor reports, and I saw them on here, and Tammy brought it to my attention today. Could we add that to this?
Yes.
So it would be this resolution order plus tax assessor reports.
And you can
so Commissioner Riley made the motion. Can you add that tax assessor report?
Yes, please.
Including with that. Is there a second?
I made the motion.
I think he made the motion.
Yeah, okay. So, but I'll add that, and I'll add Amanda's reports on there as well, the budget
yes.
reports.
Okay.
No, I think it's good work. Amy seemed to have caught everything we talked about last court session as far as what we wanted to see on there. So I think that's very nice of you.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right.
Good work, Amy.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
Welcome back, consent.
Next there court, you go. Right? Consent agenda next court.
That's next correct. Court, right?
That's right. Effective next court.
Okay. Now, Judge,
public hearing.
You want to recess the?
Yes, recess for public hearing.
Okay. Consider the partial add of Lot 1 Young Guns Commercial Subdivision recorded in the Montgomery County map records to be known as Young Guns Section 1 Replat Number 1. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to change one lot into a restricted commercial reserve. This plat is ready. Is anybody here to speak about it? Come on up.
All right, let's move on to item number two.
Oh, we have it. We have someone.
Someone's coming up.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm
sure. Welcome.
I hear I'm writing and you're walking up.
Yes, sir.
If you can give us your name for the record, please.
Yes, sir. Matt Young with Young Guns Acquisitions. One thing I would like to do is apologize right off the bat. Seems like I'm talking to my wife here. I wanted to make sure that the name of the business didn't have any confusion with a commercial property. Young Guns is just simply a business name. It doesn't have any association with guns or firearms or gun stores or anything like that.
Maybe you brought the protesters out today.
Yeah, I noticed that this morning. I started thinking about that. But I'm the business owner. Just wanted to introduce myself, let you guys know that we plan to, I have the potential buyer as well here today, and we plan to build a small manufacturing facility, probably 5,000 to 8,000 square foot on that 3.5 acre lot. Don't really have any plans to require water or sewage from the city of Magnolia. Currently, we have enough land that we could build septic and drill a water well as well. So really, that was kind of it. Just
Matt,
wanted to, yes, sir.
It's not a gun range.
It's not a gun range. Yes,
gun
sir.
Gun guns, and we had phone calls. It's not a gun range.
Nothing okay. associated with it outside okay. of the business name. Yep.
All right.
So,
are you manufacturing ones?
No, sir. Nothing
come on,
there.
I'm
asking.
Yes, sir. No, I appreciate it.
We're all kind of Second Amendment guys here, you know.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Matt.
Yep.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And that one's ready, right?
Yes,
Amy?
That is.
Okay. Let's move on to item number two, then.
Consider the partial replat. Oh, sorry.
Oh, you're still on to item number one?
Yes, please.
I'm actually the trying to purchase that property. I was going to just kind of give a little explanation of what I intend to do on the Young Guns property. So I just...
You can do that, but you don't need to.
Okay.
I mean, he's explained to us,
okay.
and it's really about the plat and approval.
We're good. I mean, we're
okay.
good.
All right.
We're good. We'll be busy.
We appreciate it.
We're ready to go.
Okay.
Me
right.
and you and Matt
Perfect.
Will be
Thank
solid.
You. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming up.
All right. Item number two.
Consider the partial replat of Reserve B, Block 1 of Champions Glen, Section 1, to be known as Spring Waters. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to subdivide one unrestricted reserve into three lots. This plat is not ready today to be voted on, but is anybody here to speak about it?
All right. Then let's go ahead and reconvene court. First, concerning the Precinct 1, consider and approve the final plat of Stonebrook Section 1. Do we have a motion to approve that?
I move.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item on Precinct 2, number A1. Do we have a motion to approve that? We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Precinct 2. I'd like to make a motion that we approve all five of these. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Consider and approve the final plat of Community Fieldhouse Precinct 3. Do we have a motion to approve?
Absolutely. Move.
We have a motion and second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. I'm going to take a chance here on Precinct 4. Do we have a motion to approve 1 through 14?
I don't know. I think I might want to go through one by one, Judge.
All right.
Go for it.
No, we'll move 1 through 14.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Human Resource, change and accept payroll change request forms. I have motion to approve.
Oh, Doty, come go through them. So come go through them.
We're going to vote on each one of them, Jody.
I'll move.
We have a motion. There's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, item number 28, precincts 3 and 4. Commissioners.
If the court is okay with this, can we move B1 up? I know that Jim from Howard Hughes is here, and he's got a meeting.
Want to start there first?
Is that okay?
Yeah, we can do that. Precinct 3, if you're all okay with that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, then let's move to B1 first before we take precincts 3 and 4, item A.
Okay, and this is consider, discuss, and take appropriate action on a memorandum of understanding between Montgomery County and TWVOGMVC LLC regarding a potential property exchange. Authorize Evan Bisong to execute on behalf of Montgomery County. Jim?
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here.
So, Village...
Can you state your name for the record?
Yeah, sorry about that, Judge. Jim Carman. I'm president of the Houston Region for Howard Hughes Corp. Good to see you. Thank you for having me
Good
today.
Good to see you.
Commissioners Court, Commissioners. So, Grogan's Mill Village Center. Howard Hughes, Commissioners Court, Woodlands Township, the Grogan's Mill Village Association, and the residents of the Woodlands have been watching over the last few years as that center has fallen into disrepair. We didn't own the center, but we were motivated by our residents to look for solutions to revitalize it. And so the first step in that process started earlier this month. We purchased two components of that center. We purchased the former Randall's box, and we purchased the inline retail section. There's seven or eight other property owners within the Village Center, but those are the two that we purchased.
Is this the center on Gosling and Woodlands Parkway right there at the corner there, or is this up on Grogan's Mill where the HEB is?
It's the original Village Center in the Woodlands. It's off Grogan's Mill Road near the Woodlands Resort and Conference Center.
I got you. Right.
So it was the original Village Center, and lots of old stories about Jamail's grocery and the ice rink and
Dairy Queen over there somewhere.
Correct. So we purchased two components of that Village Center this month, and we realized that we needed to be part of the solution to revitalize the center. We were intrigued by Commissioner Nowak's proposal, and we're excited to explore those options. Ultimately the goal is to work collaboratively with the Commissioner's Court, Montgomery County, Woodlands Township, the Grogan's Mill Village Association, and the residents to create a new village center that we'll all be proud of. And this MOU is, we're excited to explore it and see if we can make this work, and we respectfully request approval today.
And if we do make this work, Montgomery County is going to receive a brand new state-of-the-art library and community center, which will be the first time in
40 years.
Long time since we've done this. Rhea Young is involved with us, Rhea, and helping us put this, kind of a plan together. And we're real excited about it. It's going to give us more places, more parking spaces for early voting. It's going to give us a much larger, we're looking to have a 200-person room instead of a room that fits about 100 right now. So it's going to make voting easier for everybody in the community.
Awesome.
It's going to be a real positive for us.
What happens to the other?
Well, that's what's to be determined. And Jim and I are talking about that now, kind of when we would do a swap and an exchange.
Yeah.
The county attorney, as Jim mentioned, has been heavily involved, make sure that we do everything the right way. And but at some point, the library and community center would no longer be there.
The one that's there now?
Correct.
So, okay.
This community center you're going to build is larger than the one you have presently.
We're hoping to have both of them. And if it's not exactly larger per square foot, it will definitely be more user-friendly. Won't have as much waste space. It'll be designed differently.
Right.
But there's a chance to, I think it's about 58,000 square feet is what the Randall's is right now.
Oh, that's a lot.
And that would be greater than the combined community and library today.
I'll move on this.
I'll second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Jim Evan has the documents.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate it. While we're on Precinct 3, let's go ahead and discuss number 2 of that as well, and then we'll go back up to A1
right.
and 2.
So it's about that time of year every year, Marcus and his sidekick, John, get to come in and talk to us about debt. We try to do this before the budget so we know how it's going to impact us the next
right.
year. We're fortunate again that this year, not only are we able to propose a refunding that's going to save the county some money, but also a defeasance. Montgomery County was the first county in the state of Texas to do a defeasance. We brought that forward in 2014 when I joined the court. And since then, this court collectively, or the courts collectively, have generated over $42 million in savings to the taxpayers of Montgomery County by better managing our debt.
You know, when we met on that and talked about that, that's remarkable.
It's a huge.
That's huge. Such a good job.
Yes. Well, and you, Commissioner, thank you. I think you stole one of my pages, but I appreciate that. Judge, Commissioners, my name is John Roebuck. I'm with BOK Financial Securities. I had the honor of serving you guys as your financial advisor for several years. Commissioner Nowak invited me to come up tonight or this morning to talk about some debt management tools we can use to basically pay off some debt and also lock in some interest cost savings from existing bonds. On the first page of the presentation I handed out is the bond buyer index. This is a current a snapshot of the current municipal bond market. It's a weekly index average of municipal bonds out in the market with basically a 20-year average weight and a AA rating. The county's rating actually is AA plus and AAA by Moody's, so we'll sell these bonds we're going to talk about with the Moody's AAA rating, which is the highest possible rating you can have. So y'all are in a great place to sell bonds and lock in lower interest rates than other entities out there. On the second page, as Commissioner Nowak mentioned, we have saved $42.4 million over the last 9 years, either through refunding bond programs or through basically paying off debt early with cash. And that says a lot about the management of the debt by the county and the commissioner's courts here, and you should be commended for that. That's great. Amen. And then on the page three is a summary of the callable bonds. These are the bond issues you have outstanding as of June 1. Currently, you have about $373 million of bonds can be callable before their final maturity, and about $226 million can be paid off in the next or refunded in the next 3 years for interest cost savings based on the market. To get to the refunding, you'll turn to page four. We can only refund bonds on a tax-exempt basis 90 days before the call date of the bonds to be refunded, and that's just a way of saying that we cannot call these bonds until December 1 of 2023. So we can sell the bonds, the refunding bonds, in November, close in December, and lock in the savings for the 2014A limited tax refunding bonds. We're also looking to refund the 2016A bonds, which we brought to you earlier, but again, because of the market, we could not refund those. Add these together, we have $45 million of bonds refund. Economies of scale, we lock in savings of both those bond issues.
It's more attractive for
exactly, larger block sizes. As well. And then on page five is actually the estimated savings. We have about 6 years of savings. Five of them are about $440,000 a year in years 25 through 30. And then in 2028, we actually have a small amount of refunding because there's no bonds to refund there. But we'll get to what we're going to do with that 28 maturity in just a second. We talk about the defeasance. But we are looking for a total of $2,222,000 in savings, which is a present value savings of 4.463%. Then on page six, as Commissioner Nowak mentioned, we have an opportunity to take cash and pay off existing bonds and lock in the savings by using the cash to do so. And we are looking to basically pay off a portion of the 2016 unlimited tax road bonds. And you'll see the first maturity there is that 2028 maturity, about $415,000. So we can actually generate that savings there to match the refunding. Yeah. And so we have basically a level savings for the refunding and the defeasance together.
And if I could just interrupt real quick, Judge, it's a good story for us to be able to tell that, you know, we issued road bonds in 2016, and we are already going to pay some of them off much earlier than anticipated. And anytime we do a refunding, it does not extend the term of that bond. It is, if there are 4 years left, there's still going to be 4 years left on that bond. And in the case where we defease them, we're actually going to move those bonds off the books, completely pay them off. And it's just awesome. Our county is in good financial shape to be able to do things like this.
So we have future opportunity. It's easy to swallow.
Yeah, well, this will actually create capacity for us when we do move forward with the road bond.
That's right.
And generates a lot of savings, too.
That's the plan. Yeah.
So, and then
outstanding.
The final maturity is the 2037, which is about $1.1 million. And again, that's when we see a lot of savings because it's further out. So they just roll up from the payoff. And that is shown on page seven. About $2.6 million of interest will be removed from the books, and then with the cost to defease is about $1,760,000. So we'll lock in about $830,000 of savings over the life of those bonds we're paying off.
And when he says cost to defease, it's just to make sure it's not, we're not paying necessarily, it's not the cost to defease. We're still going to pay that, instead of paying $2.6 million in interest,
right,
and we're only going to pay $1.7 million. Exactly. So that's where the savings of over $800,000 right, comes in. So it's big deal to the county.
Huge deal. And so this is just information. We'll come back to you probably in the next couple of council court meetings and bring you the resolutions to have you approve these and move forward with it.
All right.
Very good.
Any questions? Yeah. All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming and sharing this with us.
Thank you, Judge.
Well done. All right. Let's move forward then on item number 28A, precincts 3 and 4. Item number 1.
Yeah.
Consider and discuss appropriate action, name and funding source for joint project.
So, it's pretty much, it is, you can't argue with the fact that there's not a roadway that brings in more people and commerce into Montgomery County than I-45.
Correct.
And also, I think everybody can understands what a choke point I-45 is, unfortunately, right at our county line where you have main lanes of I-45 going north and south. You've got Hardy Toll Road to get on or off of. If you're going south, you have to contend with Grand Parkway just inside of our boundaries. And if you're headed, if you're going north, it's just outside of the county. But all of that just creates a massive mess, not to mention the people trying to get on the freeway from the frontage roads or exit onto the frontage roads. And so David Balmos with WSB has been working on a solution with locally with me and talking to Commissioner Gray, and he's also worked with TxDOT and has some really good news about how this would work and what it's going to cost us and how we can move it forward more quickly than we ever thought possible.
Thank you. Proceed, David.
Good morning, Judge. Commissioners.
Welcome.
Morning.
David Balmos with WSB. To provide a little context to what Commissioner Nowak is talking about, TxDOT has been undertaking for the past 5 years a high-level planning study of I-45 North. That's about a 25-mile stretch from Beltway 8 to Loop 336 here in Conroe. And that study has generated several recommendations and a lot of good information. I think of important note is of that 25-mile stretch, the single most congested stretch of I-45 is from Hardy Toll Road to Woodlands Parkway. Currently, that stretch in 2017 traffic numbers carries 250,000 vehicles a day. It's projected by the year 2045 to carry 370,000 vehicles per day. That's on par with any of the most congested freeways in central Houston. So the need is clear. Furthermore, that report, although it recommends a lot of ideas for adding capacity, whether it's HOV lanes or additional lanes throughout, they've identified that particular stretch from Hardy Toll Road to Woodlands Parkway as a particular area of concern needing to address the ramping situation. And anybody who's driven that stretch understands the congestion that occurs at Hardy Toll Road. What happens is you have all the folks funneling in from Rayford Sawdust and going southbound, funneling in from Rayford Sawdust, trying to merge across two lanes trying to exit Hardy Toll Road. And that's just compounded with the fact that Grand Parkway was added a ramp about 8/10 of a mile just south of there. So it's too many ramps, too close together, with a very high volume of traffic. So the solution that I've been working on with the TxDOT Houston District is to revise all the ramps. And it's going to involve moving ramps both northbound and southbound, but generally speaking, it involves putting in a braided ramp. And so if you're going southbound on I-45 and you want to exit Hardy Toll Road, you would actually take that exit before you come to the Rayford Sawdust intersection. And it would rise up elevated in that boundary or that median between the main lanes and the frontage road, cross over Rayford Sawdust, and stay elevated all the way to the existing connectors onto Hardy Toll Road. What that allows us to do is pull back the entrance ramp from Rayford Sawdust and allow that entrance ramp to come in underneath that that bridge to Hardy Toll Road. That's the braided ramp concept. Now, the idea goes even further than that into what's called a collector-distributor. Collector-distributor is kind of like it's a road between main lanes and frontage roads. So what we're trying to do is take a lot of these weaving movements, entrances and exits, off of the main lanes and put it onto this elevated structure. So a lot of those weaving movements from the frontage road that want to access the main lanes occur on that collector-distributor. So it's going to be an elevated structure that is about 2 miles long but fits within that median.
And it's going to basically separate the traffic, those going straight into, you know, trying to get to downtown versus those cars that are trying to get either to Hardy Toll Road to Grand Parkway or the frontage road.
David, do you have any kind of schematic on this?
I do, yes, sir.
Maybe a whole lot easier to move forward.
It is. I don't try to describe this verbally, and I don't have a map that I could do other than, you know, a little handout.
Can you bring it up, Evan, and plug it in? So, Jason, can you help him kind of?
Judge, it's not going to be much more clear for you when you look at it on the schematic. I'll just go ahead and let you know. But when you're going south, it is an issue right there. You get off, and there's another exit to even get on another feet of road to your side. So
there, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is it going to dump?
We don't have the schematic, but we'll get it distributed to everybody.
So if it's the elevated part you're talking about,
yes, sir.
That's going to carry Hardy and 99. I mean, it's going to go down, and then so they can. So, or is 99 still going to be?
99 is still going to be where it is.
But it's not going to change.
It's not going to change.
It's going to take out the Hardy exit.
Hardy exit and Springwoods.
Okay.
So it'll be signed. If you're going southbound, you'll exit for Hardy Toll Road and Springwoods.
If you're going to Springwoods now, where do you exit? You exit at where do you exit to go?
Just
go across.
Just south away from Sawdust, and you get off.
You get to the Grand Parkway.
Right.
And then you have to cross
Hardy Toll. Yeah.
So this will put them up this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. That just makes a whole lot of sense.
That takes a lot of cars off that jam right in there.
And so this is a big deal for Precinct 3. This feeds right into the commerce area on the far east side of Precinct 4. I think it'd be fantastic for my precinct as well.
Yeah, three this year.
So thanks for all your hard work on this, David.
David, also, can you mention TxDOT's eagerness about this and how we want to move this forward and what you're proposing as far as what we need to do now to jumpstart that? And you might want to start with the funding that TxDOT has, that they have a shortage of projects to utilize, and this could be one of those that moves quickly.
Okay. Well, I'll speak first to their interest in the project and then the funding. So of all the recommendations that came out of the PEL, this is a very high priority for a variety of reasons. One, it's a fix that helps passengers or drivers today, and it's a long-term solution that fits into the 2045 long-range solution. TxDOT called 2 weeks ago and said, "Are y'all ready to go?" They want to get the meeting started and start the process. It's going to be a long process because you have to do environmentally. FHWA has to get involved with moving ramps and all of that, and so they want to get it going as quickly as possible. Now, the funding that the commissioner's referring to is TxDOT increased their annual letting budget significantly, and this last fiscal year, the Department of Transportation did not meet their letting schedules. They didn't have enough projects to let. So they found over $1 billion of unfunded projects that were not on any list to be funded, but they were ready to let, and they brought those forward and let projects that were at that time unfunded. They've drawn down every ready-to-let project that they can find, and currently, for the current fiscal year, they have less than $500 million worth of ready-to-let projects. So they're hungry for projects to let if they can be brought to project readiness.
And your proposal today will bring us to project readiness on this. Get us there.
It'll get us there. It's part of the stuff. It's going to be a multi-year project. It is.
Yeah. So what's the ask? What are we asking?
Today, the initial study that we're talking about will it's a lot of data collection, survey, utility investigations, traffic data collection, with the ultimate goal of doing a traffic study that visualizes what the traffic issues are today and the congestion, but then proves the point and really the benefit of the project to show how it will reduce congestion decrease delays and basically make all these movements easier. So the study will be able to come back within 4 months and present on a screen a video of exactly what's happening today and what this proposed solution will do in the future.
Cost? $980,000.
That's what they're asking of the county?
How much the plan is today. And so the goal is for us to get the engineering underway, begin to address the issues that FHWA is going to want to see addressed, and then TxDOT, or in the next steps of who's going to pay for the actual design. And it might be the county paying for the design and TxDOT paying for the construction of the project. Might be some sort of a joint funding arrangement. That's where we're not sure of. We just know in order for us to get TxDOT moving forward on this, we need to get this started. And it's very similar to how we've interacted with TxDOT on the 242 flyovers and other major investments that we had to make in the county that TxDOT pushes down to the county level initially before they jump in.
Dave, as painful as it can be, have we put this before on the TIP or on the TPC with HJC, and because they have this new investment categories that this sort of thing would fit into for additional funding, especially now that it's out in the open and TxDOT's in the middle of it?
It's being submitted as we speak.
Is it? Okay.
Yep. Yeah, this, along with several other projects that are not on the TIP, it's being submitted because of the urgency and need.
But as you know, you have to have the engineering done to get on the TIP.
Right.
So we have a couple of different funding sources.
Yeah.
So been digging around quite a bit, and we've found some potential funding sources. And one of the interesting things today about, and I'd like to ask the question while we're in open court and we can ask it all, can we pay for engineering and studies like this through pass-through funds that are existing? I think that's a county attorney question.
And David, do you know the answer to that?
So my understanding, of course, I have to refer to BD to really dig into it, but my understanding is the pass-through funds are for construction only.
Okay.
But maybe BD's office could find
out. We know that for sure, because I need to know that too. I don't know if I agree with that.
I'll look at it.
I really don't know if I don't think that it may be right, but that just doesn't sound right.
So I think that leaves a big gap, you know, to getting this question answered. But we've also found some interest pockets that will give each commissioner and each precinct some extra funding that we didn't know was there, which is pretty exciting. And that'll also should be an option as soon as that, I'll use the phrase, deposits down or deposits over into your precinct, and it would be a funding source as well.
What Commissioner Gray is referring to is the allocated interest from the road bond interest from all those road bond issuances, the interest that we've actually made on those funds sitting in the bank, investing through the treasurer's office. Those are the allocated funds that he is talking about.
How much is that?
I know Akesha's team was working on it last week.
$4, $5, $6 million.
Just out of the new system, there's about 4 million.
Last
at least.
Year.
Speak in the microphone.
We're still working on the details. Just out of the new system, there's about 4 million plus unallocated out of the road bonds, all the interest and investment earnings that we've been earning. There will be in the north of at least about $1.5 million each commissioner, close to 1.8, something like that.
And it's part of that bond money?
That is correct.
Interest on it?
Interest in investment earnings that we've been making on those.
Does it have to be used by the time frame? I mean,
my understanding with the discussions with Rakesh and Amanda, this is part of a spin down, so we'll have to get rid of it. So it's a bit of an urgency on it, but it's good news, right? For each.
Oh yeah.
Doesn't it have to be spent on the projects though? Like for instance, all the projects that you have over.
Any
in East County, you're trying to get done.
Well, I've got my projects I'm worrying about and working through, but this would be, and I'll take it if you don't want it, but if...
No.
But I think the question is, can we get this $987,000 paid for through pass-through?
Yeah.
We need to know that answer.
Yeah.
And I just don't see pass-through money being used for construction only. That's... I just don't see that being right.
And if we can use it, maybe what I, and there's a, so Amanda could come up with some funding if we can't. So, I mean, I guess a motion, if we're just talking, could be, number one, utilize pass-through money if we can. If we can't, let's utilize the funding from the excess or the interest from road bonds, since it has to be spent anyway, and then divide the remainder by four. We could also use some of the money. Is that good, too?
Second.
Okay.
To the extent, yeah, to the extent available.
Are you good with that?
Yeah. No.
I mean, you good with
it? I'm great with it.
I mean, if we can't get the pass-through, we take it out of this excess fund, and we get this study underway.
Who's going to design this ramp? I mean, is it going to be a state project? I mean, there.
That's pretty good for you.
Yeah, ultimately, I believe that's what will happen. Yes, sir.
Well, I think it should be. I mean, they've got more money than we have, it appears, and they're...
It's time versus money.
I'm sorry?
It's time versus money.
Well, their time is real slow.
I mean, yes, sir.
They move like cold
syrup.
We all
know. So painful. We all know if you tackle this project, we're going to have to do the design, the engineering, and hand it to them.
Yep.
Or we'll be here another
forever.
5 or 6 years.
All right. Do we have a motion? In a second. Did you second the motion? We have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion?
Are you good with the motion?
Yes. Perfect.
Yeah, y'all can have it. I'll get it next time.
All right, you have a motion and a second.
All of it, is that what you said?
I didn't say that.
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, Commissioner Gray.
All in favor? Aye, 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 aye.
We're all
across
in.
The board, thank you very much. We appreciate it, David.
Thank you.
Thank
all right,
you.
Good job. All right, then item number two, is that part of this as well?
Commissioners, we don't have to talk about this today. I just put it on here because of the pass-through dollars. If y'all want to talk about it today, or we can wait and do it later.
Well, I'd like to discuss it.
Perfect.
So this is something obviously we can't get in a room and discuss, and
mm-hmm.
it's hard to needle down and get my head around not being able to do that. So it looks like this is the place. So with that being said, with the pass-through funds, I don't know much of the history on it other than what I can, you know, mine out in different places. But I think 242, the flyover for the East Direct Connector, that's already locked in. Is that y'all's understanding as
yes.
far as the pass-through?
Yes.
And then if the braided ramp, if that works out, that would be even better. And I've got some items. I got a bill from when Jim Clark was commissioner, and it's a match for some bills that need to be paid for TxDOT on a match with that, which would be another question. I don't even know if we could pay that out of the TxDOT pass-through. And
I don't think that's part of it.
Yeah, I would need clarification on it. And if not, I can move forward in another direction. But I just wanted to discuss it here.
You get with BD on that.
What
can be done
and
can't be done?
Why don't we do this? We got the East Connector, 242. You got to remember, we committed up to $5 million for research, TAMNA, and 45 for that intersection out of pass-through. And then we need to make sure we know those are there. And then let's come back I got a couple of little things that are not major that I could use. I mean, if this braided ramp, that makes sense because I do... That's a freaking nightmare down there. But I got nightmares as well as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to remember, we got those two that we know are locked in. And let's see where we're at on money and then come back and figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to split it up.
David, could you come back up real quick? In conversations with TxDOT, do you have any idea what part of, you know, how much funding would we need to offer to look competitive and good? Would they pay the whole thing? If we do the engineering, you think they'd pick up construction? Do we put in 10, 20 million to be a good partner?
So that's a good question. Now, I'm going to give you David's opinion about where TxDOT stands. And my opinion, the projects that have a high priority with TxDOT, you don't need to put any money in. They're going to fund it.
Right.
There you go.
To me, it's the ones that you have a lot more interest in to push forward, but maybe they're not high on TxDOT's radar. I mean, that's where I would put it.
And you mean once we get the engineering done, we'll fund that part?
I can tell you, now that they've got the North Houston Highway Initiative deal done, And moving forward on that, it goes right up to where we're at. It's a high priority for TxDOT.
You know, since Commissioner Gray and Commissioner Riley have the 242 flyover and they're gracious enough to help get this funded, why don't y'all two, Charlie, work together on putting, because I know David said before TxDOT wants a letter of projects.
Yeah.
Why don't y'all work together with TxDOT and move forward with
Didn't we already give them that letter?
How to use that money?
We've given them lists, but we changed the list and things happened. You know, the longer these projects sit around, the more things change.
The $5 million research on that intersection there,
AFA should be done anytime. Should be done soon. Once that's done, we're off and running. But we're waiting on that.
There's another elephant in the room that we're not even discussing, and that's the escalation of construction costs. So,
gotcha. For sure.
I mean, if we can nail it down, you and I can nail it down on the back channels, or we can do it in court next time. I don't care. But yeah, let's nail it down, and I think we
need to sit down and talk, yeah. And then bring it here.
I think we can save the county a lot of money. Hey. You know, making a move on this.
Just for clarity, maybe for me, John Blau, you're in the room, and we've got the various resources to complete David Memorial. We even did the kickoff of that deal. Is that study included as part of this? Was that already included, or is that money still hanging out there that we're going to have to put towards it, or do you know?
That's not eligible for pass-through funding, so we have interlocal agreement that the city of Shenandoah has approved. It's come to the city of Conroe, and you all have it as well. So, but the project is not eligible for pass-through funds.
Okay. We've tried that.
And
do we have all the funding in place now for David Moore, or are we still missing a piece?
We're still missing a piece. We're working on that.
We moved money, $2.9 million to $3 million from something to somewhere. Has that been moved to David Memorial?
So right now it is the 2.9 million. We've moved 2.9 million from the original 242 flyover to right. This project.
Yeah.
There's a future discussion on the future funding of that. We may change that funding source. But yes, as of today, that's what it's 2.9 million.
That was the money that we were trying to get done by TxDOT, right, with pass through money, but we didn't get.
And we weren't able to do it. So we that's moved right. our ramp. We changed yeah. our ramp and. So what are we trying to do, refunding, moving money? Why are we moving it?
We're considering moving it to road bonds.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, yeah. just...
But the $2.9 million, that's not for the flyovers anymore?
It's in the pass-through money.
That's a different conversation, and I believe I have right here 242 third flyover. $2.9 million came from 242...
The 2.9, when it got transferred out of 242, it got transferred into Fund 200, which is Roden Bridge, because that's the most appropriate for it to transfer into, right? But I think it's been set aside under RD0009 project as it stands.
The 2.9? No. It's under the David Memorial project.
Are you?
100% sure.
That's where we moved. That's what we did move.
Yes.
Okay. Because we swapped the flyover
to
the pass-through and took mm-hmm. that money and redistributed it.
That's around. Correct, Commissioner yes. Riley.
Yeah.
Well, the pass-through, so because we have roughly $18 million left of the pre-funded pass-through money that we got that we didn't need for 242 the first time.
Right.
That's paying for most of it. And then
should pay for all of it.
So we won't need to use any of the $59 million, $56 million left. Hopefully not. Okay, perfect.
Well,
that's correct. I thought it was $3 million, but the court approved that back in November.
Yeah, it's 2.9 and 1. Okay. 100K.
I'm rounding up.
100K for me, right?
That's correct.
Thanks for being here.
So yeah. Let's redistribute that 100K from somebody else. How does that sound?
Okay.
So that still doesn't get David Memorial completely funded, right? We're still missing
City of Conroe, right?
Conroe, they, yeah.
Come up to the microphone. Yeah, it passed through Shenandoah City Council April 21st. I believe that's right. I have a phone call out to the city of Conroe that I'm waiting a response for as to when it will hit their city council agenda.
We sent it came to the judge's office right after Shenandoah passed it. We sent it over to Conroe for their execution before it comes to the court. So we're waiting on the Conroe to execute and come to the table.
But they still have I think they have backed out on their funding.
As of a last conversation with the city secretary, they and the mayor's office, they were moving forward. Okay. But
I thought it was on the CIP.
Yeah.
So if we get Conroe and they approve, we're all done.
And
we're all in.
We'll be the third and final executor on that contract.
All right.
You got Methodist. You got Wetlands Credit. Yeah. We got the whole deal.
Okay.
All right. So on this particular item, on item number two, this is just for discussion.
Yeah. Let me ask one more question. On
sure.
Commissioner Riley, on 1488, I know we had theorized utilizing some money there if we needed to speed it up, because that's kind of like your 45. You know, it's a mess.
Painful.
Do we need to offer TxDOT money to get that going faster, or is it? Do we know yet?
I would concentrate on doing something with your braided intersection, and then, but we can certainly look at 1488. I'm all in on 1488.
Because I know they keep saying they're doing this and doing that.
Well, now they're talking about putting a raised median in it before they widen it.
Oh, yeah.
Sound familiar, 105?
Oh,
yeah.
Yep.
So maybe we can pay them some money not to put the raised median in.
I will tell y'all that I know that they're painful, but David can tell you when I took office, Rayford Road and Sawdust was the number one area for accidents in the whole county. We put in that raised median there. We had every business owner swear they're going to go out of business. Nobody went out of business. And HGAC, their own numbers showed almost an 80% decrease in accidents on that roadway. I mean, it's a
I agree.
Huge,
I mean,
that intersection, though, is a total different animal than 1488. 1488 is wide open spaces. That down there on Rayford Sawdust and whatnot was a good thing, because I remember that when there was accidents there, when they put that in, it just kept everything going.
It does work.
And stopped.
It's just hard to get used to, and it's hard
for
to...
sure.
Okay. Any more discussion on item number two? If there is none,
there is some. I need the clarification on the 242 right away that came back, and if that would be payable through the pass through funds.
Where's the 242 right away?
So that I believe that was like a match.
Talking about the passover? Oh. Overpass?
Way back when.
Yeah, that long. Yeah.
And so I just got the bill for it, and that's why I'm asking.
Is that for the flyover, or is that for somewhere east?
This is for the widening.
And, oh, for the expansion.
Yes.
Well, if you're okay, I'll make a motion that anything that can be used to pay the bills from TxDOT that you've received from pass-through funds that... Bring it back to court next time, and let's get it done.
I'll second that.
Good.
Yeah.
It's about $1.6 million in total.
$1.3 for that right-of-way bill.
That they want him to pay for now.
I'll second that motion.
So be careful with
discussion?
We're good.
All right, there's no discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, is there any more discussion on item number two? If there is none... And we're done with 3, 1, and 2. Are there any citizens' comments that you'd like to make on any particular topic? If there are none, and I see none at this point, take a motion to adjourn.
1 second.
Yes,
sir. So under miscellaneous, BD, can you jump up real quick? And I'm not going to put you on the spot to answer in detail unless you have some information, but there is a bill regarding ETJ and getting out of ETJs of, like, City of Houston. And I asked BD, I think it was just signed, so if you have something you can say today, great. If not, you can bring it back.
Well, yeah. Well, I need to bring it back, but for notice purposes, to decide if you want it on subsequent agenda. What you're referring to is Senate Bill number 2038, which provides for a couple of mechanisms for the annexation from a city's ETJ. There are a number of exceptions and restrictions on it, but basically provides for a couple of ways to do that. One is by an election. The other is by some petitions. That was signed by the governor on Friday, so it is now law. It's effective September 1 of this year.
Because I told BD I'd like to be the first darn commissioner to, I want to get out of the City of Houston, DTJ, everywhere I possibly can. So if I can do it, I want to be the test case. I want to make it work. I think our people would vote for it overwhelmingly.
And if without a doubt,
does it, let's get after it.
Our church is right there in the middle of it. Yeah, I'm with you. I would totally agree with that.
We've got interesting floodplain and floodway over in my neighborhood, and my neighborhood being precinct 4, so
we're, we'll
still,
bring that
we're still weighing it out as far as that goes on that legislation.
Understood. We'll bring that agenda item back.
Thank you. So can you bring that back to us?
Yes.
Perfect. Good. And put that on agenda for motion.
Yes, sir.
All right. Is there any other discussion on any particular items that are miscellaneous? If there is none, I have a motion. Yes. Is a citizen comment? Or yes, ma'am. If you'd come forward, please.
Judge Keogh, thank you so much.
State your name for the record, if you would, please.
My name is Ginger Blair, and I am the chair for the Montgomery Democratic Party.
Okay.
And I'd like to clarify for all the citizens here today why there were people standing in front of the courthouse.
Thank you.
I knew you'd love that. We're here today to speak for the vigil for the Valdi children. It is the one-year anniversary. And Montgomery County, because of all the things we've heard today, the bonds and so on, is a very high-profile county in not just the state of Texas. As you guys know, you're the eighth largest county in the state of Texas. You're the 98th largest county in the United States, populace-wise. And so we would just ask your patience to support us with support of these children, because it is a one-year anniversary for the loss of these kids. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate that. All right. Are there any other comments?
One more.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Zakayla Harvey, and I'm with Texas Department of Family and Protective Services.
Yes.
And I don't know if I missed my cue for the proclamation for June being the month for elder abuse awareness.
It's not on the agenda today.
Yeah.
Maybe in June.
June, can you bring it back to us in June for our next agenda? Because it's not noticed.
Okay, that's not.
If you would do. But thank you for coming, though.
Of course.
It's always
on. We appreciate it.
Because Commissioner Metter used to have to, you know, we were worried it was for him.
I'll be honest, I just got the email to show up here at 10 a.m. sharp, so I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. So
no
thank
worries.
You all.
We appreciate you coming. Thank you for taking the
time.
All right, we have a motion to adjourn.
Moved.
Second. All in favor? Opposed. Motion carries. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah.